Damaged Goods. Chapter 44. Draco. She slumped against him and he scooped her up, carrying her lifeless body to his bed and gently placing her there. For a moment he allowed himself to just look at her, and then it all came crashing down on him. When he was going to wake her, she would have no recollection of him over the past months. Everything that had happened between them would be erased. He fell to his knees, unfamiliar with that sort of pain that spread in his chest now. It burned through him. This had always been an inevitable outcome, unless she had come to her senses earlier and realized that she deserved so much better than him. He would die of the runes one day. By Snape's calculations, that day was approaching rather quickly. So this shouldn't be that shocking. This painful. And yet, seeing her on his bed, her curl sprawled across his sheets, he didn't want to let her go, didn't want her to forget. He closed his eyes and felt tears drip to the floor. Breathing felt increasingly difficult. These last few months were there had been the happiest of his life. For a moment he had experienced what it felt like to have someone worth living for. It had never bothered him that he was going to die of the runes. He had done horrific things, and this was the toll it took. But then came this witch with curly hair and shifted his entire universe. He let out a scream of pent-up anguish and let it roar through his chest, tear through his lungs until he felt hoarse. Then he went quiet. "Pull yourself together." He locked his feelings away like he had done on so many other occasions, though this was more difficult. He focused on his occlumency and locked his heartbreak and sorrow, his loss and love, everything to do with her. It was locked away for the moment. Quietly, he stood and got dressed. Then he turned to her, wearing nothing but his white collar shirt, which went to her knees. His heart ached at the thought of never seeing her in one of his shirts again. He cleared his throat, combed through his hair with his hand, and made sure he looked the part. When she woke up, startled that she was in his house, in his bed nonetheless, he would tell her something vile, something to block out the erased memories. It needed to be shocking. He had come up with it a while ago. He'd tell her he'd been slipping her love potions in her drinks, as a test to see how easy it was to manipulate mudbloods. She would be disgusted with him and storm out of his house and his life. He grabbed his wand, but hesitated. He didn't want to see her stare at him with hate in her eyes, not after everything. Part of him wasn't sure he was going to be able to bear it. "Fuck, pull yourself together!" She deserved better than to watch him go through the last stages of the magical poisoning from the runes. Finally, she was happy, free of the dark magic within her. He didn't want to be the reason she'd suffer more. As his hand tightened on the wand, he felt the hold on his occlumency slip. Memories in his mind replayed themselves. Hermione telling him she loved him, her eyes beaming at him with adoration and joy. Her curls between his hands, the way she moaned his name softly when he was inside of her, her infectious laugh, her incredible intellect and curiosity. He inhaled and placed all the memories inside of a box in his mind and locked it away with the next exhale. He flicked his wand to wake her up. He swallowed hard, steeling himself for the look on her face. But she didn't move. He flicked his wand again. Nothing. He went closer, using a different spell. Her eyes remained shut. Panicking, he felt her pulse, which was still beating against his fingers in a steady motion, but it seemed slow. He used another spell, but nothing seemed to work. He cast a diagnostic and stared with panic at the results. It didn't make any sense to him. Something pulled her under, like she was in a magically induced coma. Her magic was getting pulled back down in a wave over and over again. This made no sense. Fuck, come on, Hermione. He cast the spell again, but when nothing happened, he felt the panic rise. He shook her by her shoulders, calling her name, but she remained motionless. His heart was pounding in his chest so loudly he could barely think straight. He'd used the obliviation spell 100 times. Did he do something differently? He thought back to the spell, to the way he had flicked his wand. Had he erased too many memories? He had to get help. He scooped her into his arms and apparated them to Hogwarts. Snape would know what to do. As his feet hit the pavement of the school courtyard, he started to walk while staring at her lifeless face. Something seemed off. Terribly off. She didn't look like she was in a magical coma. This looked like something else entirely. Her skin seemed paler. Just now did he notice the light bruise marks against her neck from where he had held her. He felt ill.
What the hell did you do, Malfoy?
Potter's voice exploded in front of him. It seemed the entire courtyard stood still and watched them. He should have stayed away from Hermione. He should have never let her get this close to him. He was poison. His fingers around her body were slightly trembling.
What's wrong with her?
Potter asked again, and for the first time in his life, Draco felt like he couldn't answer.
Is she alive? Fucking talk, Malfoy!
Low pulse. I used Obliviate spell on her, and something went wrong. I don't know why.
His voice sounded panicked in his ears, and then he handed her over to Potter because he knew it was the right thing to do. But as her small body left his arms, he felt like he was about to collapse.
Ron, take her to the infirmary. Ask for Snape, Potter said.
Draco wanted to scream as he watched the Weasley boy scoop her lifeless body in his arms and take off with haste. He wanted to protest that he needed to support her neck better, but he realised he no longer had the right to say anything about her. He had lost that privilege. He was meant to protect her, and yet here she was, lifeless in someone else's arms, and it was because of him. He was so focused on her he didn't see when Potter's fist connected with his nose. He could instantly feel the bone crunching.
What the fuck did you do to her? Speak! Potter screamed.
When he didn't answer immediately, instead inspecting his nose, which did seem to be broken, blood streaming down his face, Potter landed another solid punch.
Talk! What did you do? Why did she have bruises on her neck?
Perhaps it would have been more believable if he fought back. But he wanted to feel pain, needed that sense of punishment.
We had a fight,
was all he said, and Potter exploded with fury. He had seen him fight during the war. For such a gentle soul, he was an exceptional fighter. He crashed against him, toppling him to the ground, and Draco's head slammed on the pavement.
You fucking put your hands on her, huh?
Potter screamed. Draco didn't fight back, and thankfully Potter didn't hold back. His fist crashed against his face again and again.
What did you do that you needed to obliviate her?
He asked, but barely left him enough time to answer before his fist connected with his face again. He felt his skin break, bone crunch, tasted blood. But all he saw before his eyes was Hermione. Please, Snape, fix her and do whatever I did to her. He said it like a prayer while Potter kept punching him.
Answer me, you coward!
He had to give him something. Something to tell Hermione. Something vile.
She found out, Draco said. About the potion.
What? Potion.
I've been putting love potions in her teas.
Potter paused and stared at him.
When did you start?
Right after that night in the library.
But she didn't want to forget, did she? So you choked her?
It wasn't the truth, but it would have to do. He said nothing, which was answer enough, and Potter's eyes turned bloodthirsty, and then he resumed punching him. At some point, the sound of his fist hitting wet flesh almost sounded distant.
Harry, stop!
The Weasley girl screamed behind him and tried to peel him off. But he knew that look in Potter's eyes. Rage. Probably pent up against Draco for years and years. Now it had found the perfect outlet. Three Gryffindors finally peeled Potter off him for a moment, and Draco just lay there. His face was numb. His heart was empty.
What the fuck is going on?
Knott's voice appeared from the distance.
Malfoy!
Potter screamed, as the others kept restraining him.
I swear, if she is not going to wake up, I will fucking kill you.
If she wasn't going to wake up, he would do it to himself. But he couldn't say that. Slowly, he turned to the side in an effort to get up.
Here, let me give you a hand.
Knott grabbed him by the arm and pulled him up.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
It was hard to see with all the blood, but he could make out Potter's furious face. Ginny was in tears. A circle of students had formed around them and they all stared at them with shock. Pansy and Zabini were rushing towards them.
What's going on?
Pansy asked, confused, staring at Draco's face with shock.
We should leave,
Knott repeated, steadying Draco's body.
He can't apparate like this, Pansy said, pointing to his face.
It's fine,
Draco responded, as he pushed himself off Knott and disapparated. With a slap, he landed on the cold marble floor of the manor, his injured face smashing against the hard floor. Apparating compounded an injury. It felt like his face was on fire. With a groan, he turned around on his back, and then everything went dark, as if he was hoping it would simply end. Hermione, 1 month later. Voices. Distant. Lights flickering. Her head hurt. Her mouth tasted bitter.
Her vitals remain stable, she heard a healer.
I need to see her overnight charred again.
She recognised the nasally monotone voice anywhere.
It looks like the last potion was working, the healer said.
And yet, here we are, and Miss Granger remains unconscious,
Snape hissed in a familiar fashion.
If we knew what the reason was why her body reacted that way to the spell,
yes. Evidently we would all be better off knowing the exact cause.
If she could, she would be laughing at how annoyed he sounded. But for some reason she couldn't talk. She couldn't open her eyes, but she saw lights. With all her energy, she tried to move her hand or open her mouth, but her body didn't seem to want to cooperate.
Perhaps another dose of the potion? The healer asked.
No, I don't want to risk her heart rate increasing too much.
She could picture Snape's stoic face and the healer's uncomfortable expression in return. They were all scared of working with the potions master. She could practically see him looking down at the scroll and reading Hermione's chart with careful intent. But then the healer looked back at her, and her eyes widened in shock.
Professor, she said,
as she squeezed Snape's arm, and he looked at her with disgust before he realised what was happening. Instantly he moved closer to Hermione. His hand grabbed the inside of her wrist, no doubt checking her pulse.
Miss Granger, how are you feeling?
She swallowed. Her mouth felt like cotton. Her tongue was heavy.
I...
she croaked and coughed instantly.
Bring her some water,
Snape instructed, and the healer walked away quickly. He cast a diagnostic and Hermione looked at it. To her relief, everything looked normal. her vitals, her brain functions. The healer handed her the glass with water, and she gingerly took it, placing it against her dry lips. The water was cool and soothing, and perhaps the best thing she had ever tasted, washing that sour taste from her tongue. She saw she was hooked up to an IV, so she had been getting fluids.
"How are you feeling?" Snape tried again.
"My head hurts, but I feel all right. What happened?"
"Miney!" Harry exclaimed excitedly, and rushed to her bed with Ginny next to him. "We were worried sick about you."
"Where's Ron?" Hermione asked when she didn't see him. They exchanged awkward glances.
"We didn't know if you wanted to see him here."
"Why wouldn't I want to see my boyfriend?" They all turned silent, and she felt like she had said something wrong. "What?" she asked, confused. Harry rubbed the back of his neck awkwardly, and Ginny looked heartbroken for some reason. Her two friends stared at Snape, who was writing down notes in her chart.
"What is the last thing you remember, Miss Granger?" Snape asked.
The splitting headache hadn't gone away. "It's my third day back at Hogwarts." Everything seemed so hazy.
"And what happened after that?" he asked.
"I woke up here." Snape kept writing.
"No recollection of anything after that. It's more severe than I imagined."
"What is?" she asked.
"Miss Granger, you've been obliviated. The memories of the last months have been erased."
Last months? All those memories of her life were just taken away. Why? Who did that?
"Not important at the moment. I don't want to overwhelm you with memories."
"But why was I unconscious?" Obliviate spells only temporarily knocked out a person.
"We're trying to figure that out. Perhaps it has to do with the forcefulness of the spell or the amount of memories that were erased. I don't believe it was the caster's intent to erase all your memories."
"Someone erased themselves from my memory," she concluded, since she had done the same with her parents, only she shouldn't have been unconscious for any extended period of time. "How long was I out?" Snape looked at her with concern. This wasn't good. Had it been a full day? She was hoping only hours. The professor looked back on her chart and read,
3 weeks, 5 days, and 7 hours.
"A month!" she shrieked, and looked at her friends for help, but they just stared back at her with concern.
"We're slowly going to reintroduce memories to you," Snape said.
"What about Ron?" she asked. Harry looked at Snape for approval before answering. The professor gave a short nod.
"You guys broke up a while ago."
"Oh," she simply said. She wasn't as sad as she expected to be. It was just strange that she had no recollection of it. "Is he in a relationship with someone else now?" she asked out of curiosity. Ginny and Harry shook their heads. "Am I?" she asked with a chuckle, knowing how unlikely it was for Hermione Bookworm Granger to have a boyfriend. But Ginny and Harry weren't laughing. They both turned serious, eyes casting to the floor. Harry cleared his throat.
It's complicated," he finally said. "You were in a relationship, although I'm not sure you guys ever labelled it that officially."
She scoffed.
"Oh, I see. And since I've been in a magical coma for the last month, he decided to ditch me."
Harry shook his head.
He's the one who obliviated you."
There was a strange feeling of being off kilter, of her world suddenly tipping. Throughout the war, she had been familiar with enemies attacking her, but someone she had trusted? Someone who she was in a relationship with? She sat up. "Who is it?" Harry's wary eyes went to Snape again, who inhaled sharply and cast another diagnostic, tracking her heart rate. When he was satisfied with the result, he gave a sharp nod. Harry took off his glasses and cleaned them on his shirt.
Harry, who was I in a relationship with?
He put his glasses back on.
Malfoy.
She had to have misheard him.
Malfoy, she repeated. As in Draco Malfoy.
He nodded and Hermione started to laugh.
Okay, now you're just having me on.
But nobody else was laughing. Perhaps this was a weird dream and she'd wake up any moment now. She felt dizzy.
You two were quite serious, Ginny added.
That makes no sense, Hermione responded. I haven't seen him in years. I don't even know what he looks like anymore. Because he obliviated her. She felt nauseous.
I think that's enough for today, Snape said. It is important you get some rest.
Her head was spinning. She had been in a relationship with Draco Malfoy. Why did he obliviate me?
Evidently, you and Mr. Malfoy had a fight after you discovered he had been putting love potions in your teas. It resulted in Mr. Malfoy forcefully using an obliviate spell on you, and you fell into a magically induced coma. He brought you back to campus, where he handed you over to Mr. Potter and Mr. Weasley, respectively.
He had drugged her, meaning their relationship hadn't even been real. Perhaps he had wanted to show how easy it was to manipulate a mudblood. Her skin felt cold. She was embarrassed for some reason, unsure of what she had agreed to under the potion.
"Is there any way to recover any of my memories?" she asked.
Snape shook his head.
"But your friends will fill you in. Slowly."
"Where is Malfoy now? I want to speak to him. Ask him directly why he did it."
"I am afraid that's not possible," Snape said. "We don't know where he is, but I need you to rest now."
She knew it was futile, but she still tried to remember. Anything. Her head hurt even more now, splintering in her brain as she placed the palms of her hands against her eyes. It was as if her mind was cracking. Different images popping up only to break like ice. If she focused, she was sure she could make sense of it all. She was just confused.
"I was afraid that might happen," Snape said, casting a calming spell,
and she felt the throbbing pain in her mind ease a bit. But it also let go of her focus, and the images were just slipping away, becoming blurry.
"Give her the dillyweed draught."
That was going to put her to sleep in combination with the calming spell.
"No, I need to remember."
It was right there. She knew it. She was just too exhausted and overwhelmed. But then everything turned dark. Chapter 45. When she woke again, she heard Harry and Ginny by her bedside.
"Still no news about Malfoy?" Ginny asked Harry.
"Nothing. He disappeared."
"Snape said he had asked him for daily updates about Hermione."
Harry scoffed.
"He deserves every heartache he gets about this. If there is a heart in that vacant chest of his."
"Malfoy. A fight. He drugged her?
Then forced to forget."
She needed to remember.
"Hermione!"
Ginny said when she opened her eyes and noticed that she was awake. She rushed to her side and took her hand.
"How are you?"
"I feel like I got hit by a truck. How long was I out this time?"
"Just for the day," Harry said. "Snape said he had to sedate you because it was all too much for you. So let's just take it easy."
"I'll go get Snape," Ginny said, as she gave Hermione's hand another squeeze before leaving.
Harry smiled at her as he pulled a chair closer to her bed and took her hand.
"Harry, I think I'm missing something. Something important."
He nodded. "Yeah, He obliviated you, so this is quite a normal feeling to have, I'm afraid.
She shook her head. I feel like I did something.
No, Hermione, this is all his doing. You had...
Harry's hands bored into fists as he took an exhale before he answered.
You had bruise marks on where Malfoy had choked you while he obliviated you. And then the coward took off.
But he's communicating with Snape. He looked surprised.
You heard that? Yeah, not much. Just through scrolls. He doesn't tell Snape where he is either.
Snape appeared next to her bed and wordlessly cast a diagnostic spell. When's the last time you heard from Malfoy? She asked. Snape's eyes snapped to hers with suspicion.
About 2 days ago. Since then, my scrolls have not been going through any more.
The next day she felt constantly on the cusp of something, like a word that sits on your tongue but you can't quite get to. Her entire head felt like it was in a cloud, bubble-wrapped. Nothing felt quite real. Since the Obliviate spell didn't go as planned, Snape wasn't surprised by the unusual side effects. When she was released from the healing quadrant, Ginny walked her to her dorm room.
Okay, you're going to freak out, but I'll explain, Ginny said.
Hermione wasn't sure what her dorm could possibly hold in store for her that would be shocking, but when she opened the door to an all-green room, her mouth hung slack. I dated a Slytherin and decided to make it my entire personality, she said, mortified.
Not exactly, Ginny sighed. You're a Slytherin now?
Every revelation felt like Hermione didn't know who she was anymore. Harry and Ginny slowly walked her through the highlights of the last few months. A murder investigation, she had killed the Minister of Magic, who possessed Voldemort's wand. She found a way to sever the connection with Bellatrix. And she was killed. Hermione learned not to ask too many questions about the hows and whys, and rather take in the overview. It was like she was studying for a history exam, but it was her own life. On the third day, she wanted to meet Pansy, Theo and Blaze, who were supposedly her friends, though she hadn't seen them in years. They met her in the astronomy tower, and she felt awkward and nervous as they stared at her. She had no recollection of their friendship. All she knew was that they used to stare at her with contempt during her early years at Hogwarts, in the hallway. Pansy's dark eyes scanned her.
We wanted to come see you earlier, but Potter was adamant we only slowly reintroduce friends into your life. Not shocked that it meant Gryffindors once again got preferential treatment, but what else is new? She rolled her eyes.
Theo cocked his head at her like he was trying to figure her out. Hermione awkwardly hugged her books close to her chest.
So, you don't remember us at all?
Well, I do remember you back from the day, of course, but it just seems like I haven't seen you guys in years. So, we're friends?
Pansy sighed dramatically.
Oh, Merlin, we have to do this all over again, don't we? Yes, we're friends. You like us better than your silly little Gryffindor friends.
I do?
Well, you should. You're a Slytherin. You should have your wits about you.
I have some questions, Hermione said hesitantly.
And what do you want to know?
Theo asked. Anything you can tell me about Malfoy?
Zabini bit his lips together and looked strained.
That's rather a long list.
Start with the day he brought me here. Pansy sighed and sat down on the staircase, crossing one leg over the other.
I heard some commotion, so me and Zabini took off to the courtyard. We heard people whisper your name, but other than that, it was deadly silent. Aside from that sound, a constant thud. Then the redhead screamed Potter's name and told him to stop, and shortly after I heard Theo's voice, he sounded worried.
She cleared her throat.
When we got there, we had missed what had actually transpired, and we just saw the result. Malfoy's face was... Well, Potter had done quite a bit of damage to it. He was lying on the floor, blood everywhere. Again, I didn't know what happened in the lead-up, but
Potter didn't seem to have a scratch on him. As if Malfoy didn't even fight back, which is not like him, even if he's in the wrong. Anyway, three guys had to restrain Potter because he was just beside himself.
Hermione knew of how deeply set Harry's hatred towards Malfoy was, but the sheer brutality from her friends surprised her nonetheless. And you don't know what brought it on? Pansy shifted awkwardly in her seat.
Well, I didn't then. Malfoy didn't talk to us. Just apparated away, injuries and all. But then, later, we were filled in.
There was a silence.
Oh, Merlin, don't tell me nobody brought you up to speed on the details.
Harry did. I just wanted to hear what Malfoy said to you guys.
Once we finally caught up with Malfoy, drunk as he was, he confessed to it all, said you found out he put love potions in your teas. He wanted to make you forget, but something went wrong and he thinks he used too much force with his Obliviate spell and put you into an accidental coma.
Where is he now?
She played with her necklace nervously.
We don't know. During the first few days of your coma, he was totally isolating himself, drinking even more than he usually does. And all he wanted to hear from us was a quick update on how you're doing. When we didn't have good news, he would kick us out. Then one day he just disappeared.
I'm trying to remember, Hermione said, clinging to the pictures in her mind that seemed to play out of order.
Why was he so upset?
It wasn't like Malfoy had actually cared about her.
Pansy scoffed.
In a coma for 4 weeks, I would smack you for making me talk about Malfoy's feelings. Not that he talks about it openly with us. We just have to basically read between the lines. But yes, from his side, I can say he is very much in love with you. And I think that scares him more than anything.
Draco Malfoy had been in love with her. It should feel differently to hear those words, yet it meant nothing to her. She wasn't sure she even knew him. It all seemed so wrong, like a sick joke someone tried to play on her.
If he actually loved me, then why would he drug me with love potions?
Fuck if I know, Pansy responded.
I can only guess. He likes to be in control, and having feelings for someone makes him vulnerable. Perhaps drugging you brought him back that sense of control?
I don't know. Hermione bit her lip.
I think something is wrong.
Pansy laughed.
Apparently we have to rethink the title of Brightest Witch of her generation. Yes, something is wrong. Malfoy erase your memories against your will?
No, not all that. I know something else is wrong. I can feel it.
Even standing in the astronomy tower gave her that strange feeling of déjà vu. Now, every place she went to, every person she met, she wondered if she should remember something important.
Why erase so much? Hermione asked, but it was meant rhetorically.
I don't think he planned it that way,
Blaise responded.
But that's odd, since we're talking about Malfoy. He's meticulous in his spell work, at least from what I remember when I was a teenager.
He nodded.
It is odd. We've talked about it as well. Our explanation is that he was too emotional. He was so worried about losing you, he accidentally erased too many memories.
Are you trying to find him?
Theo nodded. Snape as well. We haven't been successful so far.
There was a pause, and his lip quirked into a grin.
Once upon a time, you could have found him for us.
Zabini shook his head.
Don't. We're supposed to introduce memories slowly.
Notch shrugged. What? It's not like it would work now anyway.
What are you talking about? Hermione asked.
Turns out when either one of you was on a mind-altering potion and apparated home, you would apparate to each other.
Malfoy?
Her home? The cold-hearted wizard who barely looked at her, who was disgusted by her blood. He had drugged her, erased all her memories against her will.
She was furious. She wanted to see him face to face and yell at him. Hex him, perhaps. She wanted answers, most of all.
I could try, she said.
I doubt it would work,
Zabini said.
Theo pulled a vial from his jacket. Let the lady try. Anyway, even if it doesn't work, after the shit you've been through, at least this will take your mind off things.
She took the vial of blue potion.
What is it?
It's a good time, is what it is,
Theo grinned. These were her friends, she told herself, but she didn't know them. Could she trust them? Pansy sighed.
She really doesn't remember us.
You don't have to take it if you don't want to, Zabini offered.
They were at least trying to get answers. Harry and Ginny seemed to want to protect her more than anything. She downed the potion and waited for its effects. A few minutes later, she felt a warm sensation rush through her. Suddenly, everything felt lighter.
I think it's working, she smiled.
Okay, then think of home and apparate. Don't force it, Zabini said.
She closed her eyes. Home. Then she disapparated and reappeared in her dorm. Snape was working with her to help her with the side effects of the failed Obliviate spell. She still suffered from severe headaches every once in a while, and the constant feeling of déjà vu. If anything, that feeling was getting worse. Slowly, she reintroduced people from the wiped memories to her life. Dominic. She had never met the Ravenclaw in her life before, but he gave her a hug and said he was so relieved to see her. He told her they'd been working on potions together, and she had tried a shield potion of his. She was fascinated to hear about his research and learn what he had been working on. She remembered her potion to remove her scar, since that was the reason for her to come back to Hogwarts, but she didn't know how far she'd come with it. She met Ron again, who joked he might be the only person who was happy that she forgot everything that happened, because he had been horrible to her, but he made a point of reminding her of it and apologising. He told her about how his trauma had affected him, and how he was dealing with it now. She hung out with the Slytherins and Dominic at the Knott estate, and finally understood why she was friends with the group. It was strange how they were all further along in their friendships than she was, because she had lost all her memories. She constantly felt like she was behind, trying to catch up with everyone. 4 days after coming out of her coma, she tried to live life as normally as she could. She attended classes and tried to make sense of her potion, but she couldn't even find any of her notes. Surely she must have taken notes.
Do you know where I would keep any of my notebooks? She asked Dominic, who was standing with Zabini and the other Slytherins in the Great Hall.
I'm not sure, but in the end you were working a lot at the manor, he said.
The manor? She asked, confused.
Yes, as in Malfoy Manor.
She hated the feeling of being caught off guard, and it happened to her so much lately. Wait, did I live at the manor?
Practically, Panza responded. We could barely get you two to come out and see us as you were all over each other.
Her stomach almost flipped at the thought. She always found Malfoy attractive. Hell, she had a crush on him even when she was younger, but the thought of them having sex when she had no recollection of him was oddly unnerving, especially because she was drugged the whole time. Did he give her other drugs? Lust potions? Did he make her do things she wouldn't otherwise agree to?
Who lives at the manor now? She asked.
Nobody, Pansy answered. I can go with you if you want to check your stuff there.
She nodded.
Yeah, that would be great.
They used the flue, and the second they arrived, lights were turned on in the manor. Hermione stepped out of the fireplace and was in awe of the mansion. She had expected it to feel as the Malfoys did, cold and almost unnatural. But to her surprise, the light was warm and welcoming.
Huh. Never turned the lights on for me before, Pansy said, disappointed.
Hermione still stared at the tall ceilings and ornate architecture. The furniture looked like it was out of an exquisite antique palace. "This is beautiful," Hermione said in awe.
"I forgot you don't remember this place."
The marble floor was shined to perfection, and slowly Hermione walked through different rooms and then she stepped into the library.
"Merlin, this is amazing," she said, as her hands travelled along the books on the shelf.
"Yes, yes," Pansy said, annoyed, leaning against the wall as she watched Hermione.
"Books, amazing. Anyway, your stuff is probably in the lab? Or his room?
I don't know where you'd keep your nerdy notes."
"Let's start with his room. I want to see if it triggers any memories."
They walked up the staircase and down a hallway. She peeked into the bathroom that seemed larger than her parents' house. When they stepped foot into Malfoy's bedroom, she felt like she was being intrusive.
"Anything?" Pansy asked.
She shook her head, looking at the large king bed.
"Nothing. It feels strange walking around his home, honestly. Like I shouldn't be doing this."
She snorted.
"Trust me, you are very familiar with his bed."
Hermione felt herself flush with embarrassment. She looked through drawers but found nothing of hers. The wardrobe was filled with suits and button-down shirts. She stilled. A green silk dress with a golden snake on the back.
"Was that mine?"
"Yes. He had it specially made for you."
She touched the green silk that felt so soft underneath her fingers. Against her better judgment, she was begging for a memory to come back to her. But it was once again like she was staring at a life of a stranger. They went to the lab and she couldn't believe he actually had a fully stocked lab. Then again, he was the Malfoy heir, so perhaps this shouldn't be surprising.
"I'm sorry you don't know where he is," Hermione said, as she looked for her notebooks. "I know you must be worried about him."
"Nobody is blaming you, Granger."
When she opened the next drawer, she saw a familiar notebook. Luckily, it was her old one from before her memory loss, so she instantly recognised the burgundy leather.
"Found it!"
"Good. Let's get out of here, then."
Hermione didn't feel like leaving just yet. She wanted to explore more of the manor. What was the point? She wouldn't recognise anything anyway. They walked back to the flue fireplace, and Hermione was feverishly reading through her notes. She couldn't believe how far in her research she had gotten. She was able to separate dark magic from blood. Harry had told her as much, because that's how she was able to defeat Bellatrix. But reading how she had done it made her eyes bulge. This actually worked. She stopped and read the next page in detail. She heard someone clear their throat, and when she looked up, she saw Pansy staring at the portrait next to Hermione. A skinny man with bright blonde hair in old-fashioned clothing looked at her. Morpheus Malfoy, 1653 to 1708, the plaque next to the painting read.
"You've been gone for a long time, miss," Morpheus said to Hermione.
"You're shitting me," Pansy said. "These fuckers never talk to anyone."
Hermione closed her notebook, not sure how to respond.
Yes, I suppose it's been a while."
"When are you planning to return?"
"Return? I'm not sure that I will."
Morpheus's eyes widened as if it personally upset him she dared to turn down an invitation to the manor.
"Is there something not to your liking?" he asked.
I don't understand. It's beautiful here."
"Then what seems to be the matter?"
She looked at Pansy, who appeared equally confused.
I'm sorry. I really don't seem to follow. Why is it so important for you that I like it here?"
"I'd say it's important you feel at home as the new owner."
Her notebook fell from her hands. Pansy clasped her hands over her mouth.
"What did you just say?" Hermione asked.
Paintings could play tricks. Perhaps this one was the jester of the family.
You're the new owner of the manor.
I'm not. You've got it wrong.
No, I can assure you, Miss Granger, I'm not wrong. Draco made sure the manor and his wealth would pass to you. He changed his will. You can read it upstairs.
It was as if she was standing on ice and feeling it crack underneath her feet. Any moment now she would fall through and plunge into cold water. Her head was throbbing with pain again, and she was overwhelmed with information. Information that seemed impossible. Why would he do that? Why would he put everything in her name? Next to her, Pansy was crying because the implication was clear. If there was a will that was released, it meant Draco Malfoy had died.